before I get in trouble, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. Greetings to all those of you that are tuning in now to our YouTube live streaming. Thank you for joining in with us. Greetings to OJ, Brandon, and Jessica. We miss you. So hurry up and get better and be back. Others that are sick, praying for you as well. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has been preaching for 5 chapters with no response. It gets discouraging. And when Isaiah is looking at the no response, he's looking at no one receiving the message. He's looking at those that are asleep while he's preaching, and he gets discouraged. And so he goes into the sanctuary and sits there and thinks about how bad it is for him. But in that setting, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, the person that was his mentor, the person he looked up to, similar situation with Timothy and Paul, he had died. He had been king over 50 years, kind of like Queen Elizabeth. That's the only queen they ever knew. And Uzziah was the only king in Judah that a lot of the people knew. So it was a traumatic event when that took place. He said, in that year, I saw also the Lord. Maybe he was seeing the king too much and not the king. He was seeing Uzziah. But when Uzziah was gone and out of the way, now all of a sudden he sees the Lord. When he goes into the sanctuary, he sees the Lord. How about that? He saw him sitting upon a throne. You need to remember that. When it looks like everything's out of control in your life, out of control in the world, you need to remember he's sitting on a throne. And that's a throne of authority, a throne of power. And he's still in control. He's sitting upon a throne. He's high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Now, the second thing you need to ask is he sitting on the throne of your heart? He said, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, 2 he covered his feet, 2 he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. That's where the hymn comes from. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Been gossiping. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. They gossip. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now, if it was so hot that the angel required tongs to take it off the altar, and he put it on his tongue, I'm going to tell you, it's worse than habanero pepper. But it does the job. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That coal, it's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And it's applied to us in order that we might be who he has saved us to be. We need to be remembered of that. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send somebody else. What, you notice that it doesn't say that? I'm encouraged. I was beginning to think you haven't noticed that some Bibles are not Bibles because the words have been changed, deleted, and added. If you hadn't noticed, that changes the meaning. When the meaning is changed, it ceases to be the inspired words of God and it becomes the theological opinions of men. So I'm encouraged. When you cannot find Acts chapter 8, verse 37 in your Bible, or the Trinity of the Godhead in 1 John 5, verse 7, or the blood in Colossians 1, verse 14, or those who do His commandments in Revelation 22, verse 14, instead of doing their laundry, you might want to go get a refund and exchange it for the Word of God. Then you can start living and operating by faith instead of the vanity of your mind. That reminds me, for those of you who send comments to me, I've got a new email address you might want to jot down. It's all one word, GaryMcFarlane@gmail.com. So please send your comments there to my new email. Now, I know how difficult it is to read the Bible. I know there's some that say we need to get it down to a second grade level so those who graduate college can read it. So I'm here to help you out this morning. Because I know it's so hard. The words are so hard. So I want to help you. Now, this verse in our text, Isaiah 6, verse 8, there's 27 words there. By the way, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Just coincidence. But these 27 words, so I want us to look at these words and see what they mean. That first word is also. That means in addition to. Okay, you got that? All right. I. It's the opposite of you. Try to keep up. Heard. That's what you do with your ears. The means the only one. The voice. That's the sounds you hear with your ears. You folks from Lufkin and southern Louisiana, stay with me. Of, that means another word's coming that it belongs to. The Lord, the, means only one again. The Lord, that means the head, the boss, the authority, God, saying, that's the noise that your voice makes. Whom? That means you've learned when to use whom and when to use who. Shall. That means mark it down, it's going to happen. This is deep, isn't it? I. Well, we've already got that one down. Send. That's the opposite of come. And. That means that's not all there is. Who. Refer back to the explanation of whom. Will. You've made your mind up that you're going to do something or you're not going to do something. Go, opposite of stay. Am I losing anybody? It's so hard. Try to concentrate. for. That's in place of. Us. That means there's more than just you. Then, that means after that, said, that's what the words that a voice is saying. I, that's the third time it's mentioned in this verse, so you should already have practice of what it means. Here, that's the opposite of there. Am, that's a state of being. I, now it's the fourth time in this one verse, so it's definitely not somebody else. Send, that's what the Lord said he wanted to do 13 words ago. Me, please refer back to the four mentions of I. So when somebody tells you this is too hard to read and to hear the voice of God revealing what you're supposed to believe and what you're supposed to do, tell them to go back and repeat the third grade. Remember that email address. The Lord told his disciples in the upper room, he said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. The Lord said, I am saving you for a reason and a purpose other than just simply coming to heaven where I am that you may be there for all of eternity. There's something I want you and intend for you to do before that takes place. And I want you to do it within what I have created an environment for you to do that in called the church. Just like marriage, the church is not man's invention. It's God's. And he said, that's what I have ordained you to grow up in and to be trained in and nurtured in and to serve me and minister to me and to my will and purpose through and in. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Moses has grown up, you know the story, in Pharaoh's house. His daughter raised him. Now he's grown, and he tried to assume the position he thought he was supposed to assume, but he did so in his time and in the power of his flesh and in the power of his mind, and he was all alone. And said, well, this isn't fair. So like Timothy, he runs away and pouts in the backside of the desert to learn some things. And while he's there at the backside of the desert, chapter 2, verse 1 said, and there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife the daughter of Levi and the woman conceived, bare a son, right? And then the daughter of Pharaoh, verse 5, comes, gets him. Chapter 3, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked. Behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So curiosity causes him to go and look at this. Same reason Nicodemus went to the Lord. He saw a miracle, and he said, whoa, wait a minute. He seems to be more than just simply a rabbi. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Remember, that's the same thing Isaiah said. Skip to verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Going to send you on a mission, on a job. I've got something I want you to do, Moses. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Remember Luke 14 in our reading. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, now, in between all this, the Lord is saying what he's going to do. And unlike Isaiah, seeing the Lord high and lifted up on a throne, he's seeing himself. I can't do this. So he's looking at himself, at his abilities. He's looking at the impossibility of the situation in his own eyes. Verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm from East Texas. Neither heretofore, I added that in there. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I'm just, okay. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken. By the way, thou means you. So does thee. It's, if you learn Spanish or German, you learn that in those languages there is a formal and then there's an informal. That's what this is. English has that too, but in America, we dropped all the formalities, and it's just y'all. Okay, so learn English, you know, improve your vocabulary, do wonders for you. Heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He stammered. Verse 12, now therefore go, Lord. Said, am not I the Lord at the end of verse 11? You forget I created the world and you? Now, therefore, go and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. See how I substituted you for that? I mean, I just automatically knew that's what it means. Verse 13, he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Lord, send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He said, okay. Send your brother Aaron. Is that what we're doing? Somebody made a great feast, great supper, invited folks to come, and they began to make excuses. You know why they made excuse? They didn't want to come. Whenever I talk about how important it is to attend church services, I'm speaking to those who are attending church services. It's sort of lost on the ones who it's really intended for. They're not here. But the bottom line is, you will find time and you will do what you want to do. And if you don't want to do something, you won't come right out and say it. You'll just find a way to get around it. I'm sorry, I can't come to church. I have company. What are they, heathen? They don't go to church? Bring them to church with you. they don't want to go, don't let them in your house. You don't want somebody like that in your house that hates God. Commitment, dedication, responsibility, obligation, duty, sold out for God. Those are forgotten words. We don't want commitment. We don't want to be tied down because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. How's that working out for you? Stress-free? Working 7 days a week, no rest? Like a walking zombie. When I first got my own dog, it took Dad a long time to agree to it, because if you had a dog around Dad's place, you had to work. You had to hunt, or you had to keep relatives away from the house. You had to work and earn your supper. Just to have a dog as a pet, as a foreign concept, no. But I finally got my own dog. And after just a couple of years, he got killed. And like Jerry Clower said, you don't mean to tell me you're crying over a dog dying, are you? I said, oh no, just the way it died, that poor thing, last thing he saw was that train. But Dad sat beside me, and because I told him I don't want another dog. Too painful. And he said, yeah, having a dog is a responsibility. You have to make sure you feed it, take care of it. But look what you get in return. So if you didn't have a dog, you wouldn't have any responsibility, but you also wouldn't have any joy. You cannot have any responsibility and enjoy your salvation, or try to, but you won't have any joy. You won't have any contentment or peace. I mean, you're doing it your way instead of God's way, so God's going to withhold the joy and the peace. So why don't you do what you did when you first got saved? Repent. That means you change your mind and you realize God's right and you were wrong. Well, you know, maybe the Lord knows better what to do than I do. So, we've looked at one anchor to help with this idea of church that so goes against the grain of our modern culture, this idea of commitment. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, which is sort of our theme verse, where it states that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. That's an anchor to hold on to. And with that, we have a Bible that's unchanged. His words don't change that he's given. And the church doesn't change. The composition of the church has changed. Way we do things change, songs we sing, that changes. But I'm talking about the function and the mission of the church. It doesn't change because that comes from the New Testament, which, remember, doesn't change. So when we begin to change what God says, leave alone, we then operate in the realm of the flesh and of the mind and not of faith. And so we are doing something instead of God is doing something. So hold on to this anchor that in the midst of all the chaos of change in your personal life and in lives around you, God doesn't change. the responsibilities and likewise the joy of a committed relationship in a church family, that won't change either. Let me give you the first duty, the first responsibility of being in a church family is that you will receive blessings as a result of that commitment. First thing is to pray. How long last night, how long this morning did you specifically pray for what's going on right now? How long did you spend preparing to worship God and to receive a message from Him? I know some of you are already praying. I mean, if your eyes are closed and you're bowing your head, I just assume you're praying. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, most important, very beginning, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, all the different aspects of prayer, be made for just the people that we love. All men, every human being. Verse 2, for kings and for all that we agree with that are in authority. Oh, well, I didn't vote for him, so I'm not praying for him. Is that what it says? Then if you hadn't prayed for him, that's probably why he put him there. I know the comments. Don't forget to change an email address. For kings and for all that are in authority. That means God has given people authority over you. Oh, well, I'm not accepting it. Doesn't change the fact that they're still in authority. It just means you are in rebellion against their authority, and therefore you're in rebellion against God. Good luck with that, by the way. We're to pray for all those that are in authority over us. Do you even know who they are? And do you pray for them by name? Here's another question. Do you pray as much as you complain about them? Wow, everybody's awake now. Got to remember, what was it? What did I say? Now, why do this? End of verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It results in a better way to live. You enjoy life more. You have less to complain about. You have less stress. You have more joy, more peace, more contentment, more satisfaction. So you see, what you receive in blessings is equal to what you put in commitment and responsibility. I know you want to sit in the recliner, crank her back and say, here am I, Lord. Bring it to me. No, he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. This is good. Verse 3, it's good. Try it out. It's good. And it's acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have only the elect to be saved. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Who will have all men to be saved. In other words, it's God's will that all come to repentance, that all come to salvation. You go to hell by rejecting the only way of salvation in Jesus Christ, you will do so against the will of God. He will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. So what should we be praying while we're praying for everybody? That those who are lost would be saved. You know what the problem with most politicians are? It's not their political view or philosophy. It's the fact they're lost and separated from God. Verse 5, for there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Boy, preach on that for a while. Who gave himself a ransom for all, be testified in due time. Christ died for all. That doesn't mean all are saved. It means that the provision has been made for whosoever will come to God on his terms and ask for salvation will receive it. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. Paul said, I didn't choose this. Moses said, I didn't choose this. God did. He said, I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore, verse 8, that men, that's men, women, boys, girls, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Praying is spending time with God, acknowledging his presence, talking to him, shutting up and listening to him speak to you. Say, how does he do that? Right there. These are his words, so when you read these words, you're hearing the voice of God. How he answers you. God answers prayer. May not be the answer you want, but he answers prayer. The prayer is not to change the will of God. It's to change your heart and your will to match God's will to see that it's the best possible way for you to live. So the first responsibility for someone in the church is to pray for the church. Who's the church? Look around. Do you have a membership list in your Bible? If you don't, how can you pray for the church? Do you pray for revival to take place beginning with you in the church? You pray for me. Boy, the preacher's a little bit off today. Yeah, you didn't pray for me. Pray that the needs around here are met. What about the needs in the community that the church is praying for? What about the ministries, the missions? Do you pray for the missionaries by name? Do you pray each week what's on the church prayer list? Do you know what's on the prayer list? So you pray for the church. You pray for the needs in the church that are expressed. There's people that call. There's people that email and say, have your church pray for us. Pray for this situation. Why? They know this church prays. We meet on Wednesday and we pray. Do you know what the most boring service for someone that lives in the flesh is? Prayer meeting. And all we do is just sit around and pray. Or I got things to do on Wednesday night. I know, because you don't want to be there, because it's not entertaining. So it's a responsibility to pray, yeah. But it's a privilege to pray, too, because of what you receive in return. You receive the fellowship of the Lord. I mean, now, wait a minute. Let's see. Hang on just a second. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, strength. Right? Man, if you really love somebody, nobody's got to force you to be around them. Man, how long's it been since you talked to your girlfriend? Oh, about 3 minutes. You always want to be around each other. Why? You love them. So you can say you love God, but if you never want to be around Him, if you never want to hear His voice, if you never want to be a check up who it is you really love, do you pray? Do you pray specifically? That means unless you have a photographic memory, you have things written down. Boy, I notice when we talk about responsibilities, nobody hollers and says amen and swings from the lights and says, "Whoo, boy, this good, man. I got to get all my friends in to listen to this message." But guys, if you just do it, you would receive that in excitement. But it wouldn't be in the flesh, it would be in the spirit. And you would see that God does respond to prayer. Lord, here am I. You said you've got a job to do. You've got a mission to do. You've got something that we can privilege to come alongside and work with you on something. Wow. What an opportunity. What a blessing. Here am I. Send somebody else. Doesn't even sound right, does it? Man, I just grilled some steaks. Just took some baked potatoes out of the oven. Got some baked beans out there. And just took a fresh homemade apple pie out. Come eat. Here am I. I'm right here. That's what that means. Here am I. East Texas, it means I'm right here. I'm ready. No. I have some pureed broccoli. I have some spinach that smells like somebody's dirty socks. I have some stewed cabbage. I'd rather eat that. Lord, I want in on what you're doing. Here am I. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you so much that we have it. We can place our complete faith and trust that these are your words, that you intend for us to have a complete revelation of what you have revealed about yourself from Genesis to Revelation, everything that we need to know for life here and for the hope of what eternity will be like. Thank you, Lord, for giving it and preserving it. Thank you that you chose this method to do so. And now, Lord, you've chosen the church as a means of teaching, of training, of encouragement, of admonition and correction, as a home and a family where we're loved, where we're prayed for, where we're encouraged, where we're edified and built up, and where we're sent from out into our stations in life that you have us positioned in to carry out your will and purpose for your glory, for your honor. Help us and teach us, Lord, what that means. And help us not to shy away from duty and responsibility, because therein lies the source of tapping into your joy and your peace. To live an abundant life, an abundant life that is full and overflowing with the reality of your presence and your leading and your wisdom and your love. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you, Lord, for your people that gather here to worship you, to sing praises to you. Lord, continue to bless with your presence and with your leading. And may we continue to follow with obedience and with love for you. We pray in Jesus' name.